So I want you all to just take a moment and just to imagine all of the voices around you that are constantly giving you pieces of advice, giving you judgment or instruction, whether it be them actively saying it to you or words that you remember being repeated in your head, things they've said to you in the past. Think of just the little things said to you day to day that you hear or read. Hey, you should try this food. Hey, you should listen to this music. You should avoid that person. They're not nice. They're angry today. You shouldn't walk there late at night. It's not safe. You should be enjoying the things I'm enjoying. It's dumb that you let your faith stop you from that. Maybe they're cherished words from loved ones or friends or coaches or teachers. Keep your chin up. Keep at it. Take care of others and they'll take care of you. Everything happens for a reason. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Live each day as if it's your last. Well, you think about all these voices in your head as you make decisions and things that you remember. Some of them can feel specifically like controlling, but the majority of them are just pockets of advice or guidance. And when we're alone and free to make our own decisions, we typically don't really see the impact that they have on our life. And we don't feel like boxed in by them. We don't feel like we're regulated by them. I have to ask you one other question. When you are imagining those different pieces of advice and the voices in your life that gave them to you, how long did it take you to think of the guidance and instruction from the Bible or instruction people had given you from the Bible? And why is it that I'm sure for many of us, at least at some point, when we thought about the commands from the Bible, the instruction from the Bible, when we thought about the call to righteous living, we felt it as some sort of prison, like it's boxing us in, preventing us from really enjoying life, keeping us from what we really want to do. We're going to come back to this thought and picture later throughout this morning, so let's hold on to that thought. But today, as we continue to go back to the basics, we've been going through this series of just the basics of different tools that are offered to us that the Holy Spirit uses within our lives. We're going to look at the Word again. We're going to look at meditating on it and treasuring it. And so today we find ourselves in Psalm 119. It's not really known who wrote Psalm 119, but many presume it was either David, Ezra, Daniel, or Jeremiah. All of these potential authors are people who walked through hard times, and yet they looked to God in these troubles. As the psalmist describes even throughout the chapter. We're not going to look at the whole chapter because, well, it's kind of like the longest chapter in the Bible. And I don't think I could stand up here long enough to read it all to you, let alone preach on the whole thing. But this chapter has an interesting structure to it. It's an alphabetical acronym. You won't notice it very well here in our Bibles because, well, it's in English and the alphabetical acronym is in Hebrew. In Hebrew, there are 22 letters, and this chapter has 22 different sections that are each 8 lines long. And in the first 8-line section, every line starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In the second eight-line section, every letter starts with the second letter of the alphabet. Be like having a poem where all the first eight lines begin with A, and then you have a second section where it belongs with B. We're going to look primarily at the first two sections of this chapter today. Many point to this acronym as a way of showing that God is a God of order. And this is the God who this passage implores us to obey. This passage constantly brings calls to obedience to God's word, to his commandments, while showing us the character of God and the blessing of the gift of his word. I just want to take this moment just to pray and ask God to open our hearts and our minds to the word of God. God, we just ask that you would move through this message today, God, that you would convict us and encourage us. God, I just ask that we know the Holy Spirit is there to help us understand the scriptures, God. God, we just ask that the Spirit would be moving in that, God, that we would truly understand, that we would truly treasure your word for what it is, praising you for giving it to us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you would like, you have a Bible on your seat. Otherwise, it'll be projected on here. But if you want to use the Bible that's there, we'll be looking at page 522. In Psalm 119, it says, "How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. If only my ways were committed to keeping your statutes, then I would not be ashamed when I think about all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Never abandon me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." When we look back at that example I gave earlier of the thoughts and advice we hold on to versus the word of God and how we feel about its instructions, We start to see this passage go against what we often think about the word. Oh, how happy is the one whose way is blameless, who walks according to the Lord's instruction. If only I was committed to your statutes. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees. I delight in your statutes. The psalmist's viewpoint about obeying God's instruction is completely different than our natural sinful desires. This passage asks, how can a young man keep his way pure? We know that when a young person starts to get older and is nearing adulthood, those voices of advice and instruction start to seem louder in their heads. They aren't sure where to go. There's several options in front of them. And it almost seems like the voices of wisdom, they don't hear anymore. And the voices of their peers and their friends get louder. It's not just the consideration of whether they'll go to college or go right into the workforce when they graduate high school. It's the decisions all around them. What friends will they keep? Will they choose to keep following God? What will they lean on or look to when hard times come? Will they try other things to seek to numb the pain that often comes in life? Will they do what's honorable or what's easy? I think for many of us, if we think back to that period of life entering adulthood, we remember it as a time of big decisions, and yet being often easily molded by the world around us. And yet even still, we are often easily molded by the world around us, their ideas, their advice, what they define as success. And so what do we need to do? Keep his word, treasure it in our hearts. What does that mean, treasure it? We're going to talk about that a little bit more later, how we can do this. But it means we truly value the word in the way that we live our lives and the way that we think. Some other translations talk about hiding the word in your heart. Those words, they're tucked away. They mean something to us, so we hold on to them. Hopefully it's that we hold on to the instruction of the word tighter than just some advice from an aunt or uncle or parent or grandparent. And when we're unsure of what decision to make or tempted to sin yet again, if we treasure the word guides and protects us from sin. We sang earlier this passage from Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. And think about it as this picture of, you know, we're walking in this dark world. And yet, the word offers us a light. It offers us guidance to get through. As we treasure the word, we strengthen the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to guide us, to convict us, to encourage us. But that's not the only thing that the word of God does in our lives. Again, the psalmist says in the first two verses, how happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. That's not often how we think about God's word, how we think about it in our own hearts is we look at the word and we go, wow, that, you know, when we really think about it, it's like, that's kind of controlling. That's not going to make me happy. That's going to take me away from doing the things that the world tells me are good things to do. The world tells me are things that will make my life better. And yet, the psalmist clearly indicates that those who follow his word, who follow his commandments, will be satisfied. They'll be happy. Going back to our example, the voices around us that influence us and says, can you think of a time when you followed the advice or instruction of a person you trusted in your life and they were pleased with you for following it? That was an imperfect person that gave you guidance. And think about how much greater the peace and joy there is in knowing that we are living in obedience with our perfect Father. How much peace there is when we choose to live in the way that he has called us to. The word offers us peace and joy in God through obedience to his commands. It says later on in Psalm 119, 165, abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. We look at that, and treasuring and following the word, it offers us guidance and protection against sin and peace and joy in God. But most of the time, we don't take it. We don't measure up. We might read the word and try to fight sin with it, but we still mess up. The law of God was too much for us to live up to. But good thing the word has more to offer us than just that. It reveals more about God than just that. In John 1, 1 through 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not recognize him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." We see that Jesus came here as the Word. He's the physical revelation of the Word, the fulfillment of the law. He came here and lived the law perfectly. He valued and treasured the Word. Hebrews talks about how we were our ancestors were spoken to by the prophets, and yet now the Son is here. And he's the radiance of God's glory, the exact expression of his nature. If we look back to that passage we looked at in the scripture reading, there's this contrast between the psalmist who says, "Your word have I treasured in my heart," and the Pharisees whom Jesus said, "You don't have his word residing in you because you don't believe the one he sent. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me, but you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life." Jesus makes clear that the Word of God, the Bible, is pointing to him as the one who can offer eternal life. The Word doesn't just offer us guidance, a protection against sin, a way of using it and guarding ourselves against sin. It doesn't just offer us peace and joy through obeying it. But the Word, the Bible, offers us eternal life through the Word, which is Jesus. Jesus came to bring eternal life. There is life and joy in those words. There's a hope here that caused the disciples to sing praises in prison and persecution. There's a hope and a joy here that when many walked away from Jesus because his teaching became complicated and wasn't what they wanted, that Peter said, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." There is life found in his word. There is life found in the Word. has the words of eternal life brought through the work of Jesus and what he did on the cross and the resurrection. And he came to bring life. And so when we're reading the scriptures, it should bring us hope and us life. I was thinking about this week, just the story of these disciples who met Jesus along the road to Emmaus and did not know yet that it was Jesus. And he was opening the scriptures to them. And when they finally realized that it was Jesus talking to them, they said, "Were our hearts not burning when he opened the scriptures to us?" Is that what you're getting out of the scriptures, that your heart is burning with the knowledge of the life that it brings, the joy that it brings, because it has revealed to us who Jesus is? My goal for you today is not for you to leave here going, "Well, I'm just a bad person who never reads their Bible, never memorizes verses." And don't get me wrong, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you today, I'm not here to get in the way. But the desire of my heart is that you would see the goodness and joy of knowing Jesus, of seeing him revealed in Scripture, the character of God in Scripture, and going, "Man, I'm missing out. I want to know you more, God." And what's one of the best ways we get to know him? By treasuring the Word, the Bible, and the Word, Jesus, we see the good and eternal life offered to us through him. Now, when I say this, I'm not ignorant of the problems that will come with life, of the trials, the hard times that come through life. What I'm saying is, as we treasure the Bible, as we treasure Jesus, those hard things aren't as bad, because we know that we have Jesus to walk through them. We know that we have eternal life promised to us in the end, that in the end we will be with him. How do we treasure the Word? If we're going back to the basics, we need some basic ways to treasure the Word in our lives. The psalmist in Psalm 119 gives us an idea right within the passage. In verse 15, it says, "I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways." I would encourage you each day, or at least a few times a week, find a short passage that you can read or you can listen to, and just think about it for a good part of your day. We talk about the Bible being like spiritual food. And so think of it this way. We treat it like a really good food. Slowly chewing on it, savoring it. I like to think about it like a food critic, like thinking about its aroma and flavors, just breaking down the passage carefully and thoughtfully. I'll give you an idea and an example of this. We read Proverbs 3:5-6 earlier. So let's look at that. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight." So maybe as I'm meditating on it, as I'm thinking through it, I'm thinking, okay, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Is that something I'm doing in my life? In what areas am I struggling to trust him? Why can I trust him? What would it look like for me to be trusting him with all I have? Am I relying on my own understanding? God, show me the blind spots that I'm missing. Lord, help me not to think that I know better. Lord, help me to truly know you and acknowledge you with the way I live my life. Another example, in John 14:6, it says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So maybe that's sitting there and thinking through, Jesus says, I am the way. He is the way to God. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to life. Way to salvation. He's the truth, the life. And so just thinking through each part of those ideas. One passage I've been thinking about a lot lately, Romans 12:1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. What mercy have I been offered? Reminding myself of the richness of his mercy that Jesus has offered me, his grace that he's offered me. What am I to do with that? How am I to live? What does that look like in my day-to-day life? What does true worship look like? Another method we can use to help treasure the word in our hearts is through memorization. And I get it. You hear these two methods a lot, memorize and meditate. But have you actually tried them? When's the last time you meditated on a passage or attempted to memorize a verse? I know in my own life it's something that I can often forget to do. I can often forget the importance of. And I've been challenged with this a lot lately. Because I know that the verses I memorized as a child, they still stick with me. They still guide me through hard times, guide me through decisions. But when's the last time I've really tried to memorize something? If anyone's interested in memorizing a passage together with me, let's do it. That's part of what we're here to do as a church together. And lastly, one way we can treasure the word is to encourage one another with it. As you see your brother or sister struggling, bring them passages of scripture that might uplift them. Encourage them in the good work they are doing with passages of scripture. Bring the things you're learning to them. Continue to use the things that you're learning through the Bible, the things that you're learning about God in conversation and fellowship to encourage one another. As we close, I want to leave you with this from the letter to the Colossians, where the church in Colossae is being urged how to live and worship. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. We're going to have the opportunity to sing again in just a few moments, and I want you to think about the words that are on the screen. Think through the scriptures through this week to meditate and memorize and just to dwell in the word. Spend time with God. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you. Let's go and do that today. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you and praise you yet again for who you are. Thank you for revealing yourself to us physically through the person of Jesus, but also giving us your word, giving us the scriptures that we can go to and learn more about who you are. God, I ask that we would just be encouraged throughout this week, God, to let the word of Christ dwell richly, to be encouraged by the word, to be convicted by it, to study it so that we know better how to make decisions for you, how to live for you, so that we know how to face hard times, God. God, we just ask, as we continue to study your word, that your Holy Spirit would work in us to remind us of those things, God. And just pray for us as we sing, God, that we would, and we go out here, that we would encourage one another with your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen.